And grab your swords, please. Grab your swords and go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let's say that one more time. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And now, how are you going to bless the Lord? Praise and worship. That's how you bless him. It says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and what? Forget not his benefits. How many of y'all know that there's benefits? But see, because God is a covenant God. But there's something that you do, and then he does. See, he doesn't do something until you do something first. He says, do this, then I'll do that. Do this, then I'll do that. See, there's that area. One of the things we got to do is constantly be in a state of surrender. That's why people can't lift their hands, because they're still trusting in them. Oh, my God, what would somebody think if I lifted my hands? Who cares what somebody thinks? It's between you and God, not you no more. That means you're still fighting for your life. You're not surrendered it. And people who can't surrender their life always stay in survival mode. And they're dangerous individuals because they live by emotion. Okay, so in this, in these benefits, he says, if you'll bless me, in other words, what you're doing is then you're calling forth, as you're blessing the Lord, you're calling forth his presence, aren't you? As you're praising and worshiping, you're bringing his presence. And nothing can happen without his presence. Nothing. Because it's in his presence that's fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's in his presence where the anointing is, which breaks the yokes of bondage. So he says, forget not his benefits, which because he's a covenant God. He says he forgives our iniquities or our sins and stupidness. And he heals all of our what? Our diseases. Our diseases. Now, people think that that's just sicknesses. It's not just sicknesses. Dis-ease, something that's tormenting, something that is hindering you. It's a dis-ease. Has everybody got it? In other words, you are not at peace. So if there's something meaning that you are not at peace, that means there's a presence of evil there. Amen? And he says he'll deliver you from that as you begin to maintain covenant by blessing him with all of your strength. He says, seek me with all of your heart and you'll find me. In other words, he's looking to bring you into a place of a point of contact. He's trying to get you to a place of a point of contact where there's a touch, you know, just one touch from Daddy, and you're done. You're a brand new person. Just one touch. That's that point of contact. He's trying to get us into a point of contact. But see, the carnal mind is always trying to calculate, understand. Well, what? Man, just do it. Shut up and do it. How bad do you want it? You know, people are grumbling and complaining because of their lives. They're having all kinds of stuff, but yet they're not fighting for that point of contact. They're not fighting to get touched by the Lord. They're waiting for God to do something, and he's waiting on you to do something.
Genesis chapter 3, is everybody there? Verse 1. Let's read it. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Hello? In other words, he can outwit you in a second. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat it, nor shall you what? Touch it, lest you what? Die. You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. You know what happened? They not only touched it, but they ate it. Hello. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail with this and why the serpent did whatever and why Eve did what she did. But I'm going to share with you that because Adam and Eve, they were sanctified unto the Lord. They were eternal beings. They were pure and clean. What the enemy was trying to do is contaminate them. Because he knew that contamination would cause separation. Everyone say contamination causes separation. So because Adam and Eve were already sanctified and holy, the Lord warned them not to touch that evil or eat it. because it was unclean, because his people were pure and clean. And this is a warning for me and you. So what did they do? They ate it, didn't they? They touched it, they ate it, and they got contaminated, and they were removed from the presence of God and from the tree of life. Because the Lord's presence is holy and clean and pure. Has everybody got it? So in this, you and I, this is a warning for me and you. Because the enemy is trying to contaminate me and you to cause separation, because his purpose is to break covenant so that we would break covenant with God. But if he can't get you to break covenant with God, he wants to contaminate you so there is separation. Because if separation is maintained long enough, you break covenant with God. Amen? So in this area, you know, we've got to be careful about people, places, and things, don't we? So here was Adam and Eve were pure, holy, and clean. And the serpent convinced them to touch. Everyone say touch. See, the key word here is touch. It wasn't about eat, because they weren't going to eat unless you touch first, right? So eating wasn't about it. It was about touching it. Because there's such a multitude of meaning of the word touch. And that's the key word today is touch. So we've got to be careful what we touch, because what we touch can contaminate us and cause what? Separation. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Exodus 3. How many of y'all know we're in the last days? The word says that many will fall from the faith. Now, falling from the faith doesn't mean they didn't believe in Jesus. It meant that they didn't do the will of God. See, there's people who can believe in Jesus and still not do his will, because they're doing their own thing, but they're proclaiming that they know Jesus. But it's not true. Because the word believe means to follow. So if you're not following him, how can you be doing his will? It's impossible. In Exodus chapter 3, in verse 4. Is everybody there? So when the Lord saw that Moses, he turned aside to look, because God was calling him from the bush. God called him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is what? Is holy. Moreover," he said, "I am the Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, understand this. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were able to stand in the presence of God because they were pure and clean. So the enemy convinced them to get contaminated. Has everybody got it? So from that point on, man was contaminated. Has everybody got it? So the Lord was setting up a reconciliation, a restoration. So he called Moses. But when he called Moses to the bush, he said, "Listen, man, you got shoes on." Why? Because the shoes represented Moses' life of contamination. He said, "Take those off because you're on holy ground." Is everybody? Why? Because the Lord was getting ready to sanctify Moses. He was getting ready to what? Sanctify Moses, because only those who are sanctified have access to the presence of God. Again, man became contaminated, the world contaminated. The world is contaminated. Amen? Why? Because the world is under the rule of who? Satan. So the world is caught, because the world is contaminated, causes separation from the presence of God after the fall of man. All man was contaminated. Moses, being unclean, was told to remove his sandals because the ground being holy, and Moses was walking, his walk of life was unholy. And the Lord was about to sanctify Moses, so he had to stand, so he could stand with him in bare feet. He wanted nothing between Moses and the anointing. Nothing between Moses and the anointing, because the ground was now anointed. It was sanctified. So everybody got it. Go to Exodus 19. And why are people going to be falling from the faith? It says, because they take heed of deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. taking heed of deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Why? Because by taking heed of deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, they contaminate themselves and it causes them to be separated from the presence of God. This is called spiritual contamination. Exodus 19. It started with Adam and Eve and has come down all the way. Exodus 19, verse 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and what? Consecrate them today and tomorrow let them wash their clothes. In other words, he said, sanctify them, consecrate them, get them cleansed before I come. And let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. What's the third day represent? Resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because after the Lord rose from the dead, everyone they have access to him would be sanctified. And verse 12, and you shall set bounds or boundaries for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or what? Touch it, because they were what? Unclean, and the mountain was what? Holy. It was sanctified, wasn't it? Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to what? Death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow, whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So the Lord was preparing them so that they could approach the mountain, but they could only approach the mountain when the trumpet was sounded. So there was a specific time God was going to allow this to happen. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. These boundaries were to cause so that people, because they were unclean, not to touch something holy. And in fact, if you remember when the Ark of the Covenant was being moved, when David went to go get the Ark of the Covenant, one of the individuals touched the Ark of the Covenant, and he died. Why? Because he did not go through a ritual that brought sanctification. So it's required right now that you and I be sanctified. Now, this here all started an area where the Lord said, listen, I'm going to fellowship with my people. I want to be restored to my people. I want my people to be restored to me. So he set up a tabernacle. He told Moses to build a tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, he would have three chambers, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And the outer court was a place where they would do the sacrifice, which would bring atonement. So they began to kill animals because the blood would bring cleansing to the nation. Has everybody got it? So once a year, they would all come and bring animals and so forth, and there would be a cleansing for the sins of the nation of Israel. And that's why the Lord set up the tabernacle with Moses. So when the tabernacle was set up, all the tribes of Israel were around the tabernacle, and the cloud of glory, the presence of God, was there by day and fire by night. So his presence was there, but you couldn't approach it without the sacrifices. The priest could not go into the holy place without being cleansed and through the blood of the lamb or blood of an animal through sacrifice and the washings. So they had to go through rituals. But the tabernacle is also a representation of Jesus Christ, who God would become the tabernacle for man and die on the cross. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, because he would become the tabernacle. So man, anyone believing in him and accepting him, would become sanctified unto the Lord and may have access to his presence. But see, the thing is that the devil wants to constantly contaminate us in any way that he can. Amen? Now, sin is called contamination because sin is known as the presence of evil. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Sin is the what? Presence of evil. Now, does the presence of evil contaminate you? Yes, if you touch it. Amen? If you what? You touch it, because that's a point of contact, isn't it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 14. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Hallelujah. What does it say? Do not be what? Unevenly yoked together with what? Unbelievers. So is yoke associated with touch? Yes. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Is fellowship associated with touch? Yes. And what righteous and what communion has light with darkness? Is communion associated with touch? Yes. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Is agreement associated with touch? Yes. For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will what? Dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my what? My people. Therefore, he's saying, if you'll do this, come out from what? Among them and be what? Separate, says the Lord, and do not what? Touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, in other words, maintaining covenant, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the what? In the fear of God. So in this, he says, come out from among them. Why? Because the key word again, and there's more than one key word, what they all represent, touch. He says, agree. So we got touch and agree. In other words, touch is associated also with physical, but agreement is touch spiritual, because you can agree with something you think. That means you touched it. The Bible says, if a man lusts over a woman in his thoughts, he has sinned. Why? Because he's agreed with it, he's touched it, and he's become contaminated. See, and you'll know contamination, because when you're contaminated, when your spirit gets contaminated, your heart becomes contaminated, because your heart is the character of your spirit. This is where a heart becomes hardened. This is where rebellion is. See, now you'll know fruits. These are areas that we must know these things, because the enemy is trying to contaminate us, which causes separation from God, and eventually will cause broken covenant. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because they reject knowledge, I reject them. My people are destroyed. These are things that we must know, learn, and begin to master in our life. Mastering something means it becomes a part of your life. Okay, again, in this, the key word again is touch or agree, because it is the point of contact that initiates the transfer of unclean or clean. Are you with me? Remember when Moses went to the Lord, did the Lord clean him? Yes, because he stepped on holy ground, didn't he? So there was a point of contact. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Same thing with accursed items. People don't even realize they got accursed items. Some people wear accursed items. They have accursed items in their home. Well, an accursed item is a point of contact of something unclean. And an accursed item draws demonic activity. People wonder why they have problems. When they got voodoo statues in their home, or demonic things in their home, pornography and all kinds of stuff in their home, witchcraft movies in their home. These things draw demonic activity, and they wonder why they're struggling and fighting. Alcohol, cigarettes, all of these things are accursed items. Has everybody got it? And they draw demonic activity. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you can read accursed items in Joshua 7:7. It starts with there, somewhere around there. But I'm not going there today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. For you see your what? Calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are what? Are called. Now this isn't supposed to make you feel good, okay? It's got nothing to do about a feeling. In other words, the Lord said he's calling those who are out there. So you know what? All of us have been out there. Aren't you blessed? We all been out there, man. Hallelujah. But he's called us. And he says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things in the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh shall glory in his what? In his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us what? Wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So when you came to the Lord, you became sanctified because of the price that Jesus paid on the cross. You were bought with a price. Amen. So if you became sanctified, now the one thing we want to do is maintain sanctification. So we got to be careful what we touch so we don't get contaminated. Hello. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Holy Spirit beginning to reveal some things to you. Maybe that you're touching and agreeing with. 2 Corinthians 10. Is everybody there? In verse 3, I think it is. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War. We don't fight. In other words, although we walk in the natural realm, we don't fight according to the natural ways. For the weapons of our warfare are not natural or carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now again, a stronghold is a memory lie. It's something that you agreed with. So you got touched by it, didn't you? Ever been told you'll never amount to anything? You ever been told? You know, people go to these 12-step meetings and they go around and they say, hi, my name is such and such and I'm an addict. Well, that's good. So you'll stay an addict. Why? Because you agreed with it and spoke it. Amen? Jesus said you're no longer an addict. He who's in Christ is a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. You know, I'm sure you heard the story about my wife eating watermelon. She couldn't. And she cut the watermelon up for me. And man, I'd devour it because I like watermelon. Especially when it's hot outside and stuff, man. It just looked nice, sweet, cold. Yeah. And so she'd cut it up, and she'd look at it and go, man, and she couldn't eat it. Every time she would eat it, she'd break out, and she'd scratch her throat. And so I was leaving the house while she was cutting up a watermelon, and I turned around and I said to her, listen, the Lord says you're a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away. All things become new. You can eat watermelon. And I left. Well, I came home, and the watermelon was about gone. I thought, man, why did I tell her that? That I repented to myself. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Praise God, we can share watermelon. We can have it together now. Hallelujah. Do you have the point, though? The point of contact. See, because the word was spoke, she agreed. And because she agreed, it manifested, didn't it? And she ate. She touched and ate. And so was the watermelon. Praise God. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Again, a stronghold is a memory lie. So one of the things that the enemy is always trying to do to you, in fact, in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, it talks about the full armor of God. And one of the parts of the full armor of God is called the shield of faith, which quenches every fiery dart. Well, the fiery dart is the voice of the stranger. So he's always trying to speak to you. See, most people think that their own thoughts are their own. Oh, that's just my thought. That's just me. No! Those thoughts originate from the unseen realm. And they're trying to convince you that you agree with it. Uh-oh, I'll never get clean. I'll never quit using drugs. I'll never stop smoking. I'll never do this. I can never do this. Well, in true reality, you can't, but I can tell you this. The Bible says, again, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. See, what you're doing is you're agreeing with the voice of the stranger, which is nullifying your faith. Oh. Now in verse 5, it says, cast down these arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of who? Christ, meaning his word. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is what? Fulfilled. Wow. So we must be careful, because you will touch things with your thoughts and it will contaminate you. Strongholds contaminate. They put limitations on our life. That's why people will be going doing fine for a period of time, and all of a sudden they get to a level they know they can't go beyond. Fear is a contamination. Pride is a contamination. You know, people are in the area, even prescription drugs. Let me tell you, somebody gets in an accident, they get on pain medication. Well, the accident's over now. Get off the dope. That's why people get stupid, because it's called dope. Then they get hooked on the pain medication. And then they stay on it. Now they're dependent on a pain. Do you know that? Let me tell you. You stay on pain medication long enough, the pain doesn't really get removed. You become more sensitive to the pain. People don't realize that. Then they try to mix drugs and do whatever to get rid of the pain. And now you've invited the spirit. Why? Because when you agree with something that is from the enemy, it invites a spirit. Now that spirit's presence is contaminating you. I'm going to say that again. The spirit's presence is contaminating you. You know, when we minister in the jail and people are in there 2 or 3 days, and, you know, they just came from using drugs, drinking, pornography, all kinds of stuff, and cigarettes, and so I'll say to them, so do you have a desire to drink right now? No. Do you have a desire to smoke? No. Do you have a desire to use drugs? No. Why? Because the spirit left you. He can't get fed. But he's going to come back. He's going to come back. And when he comes back, why? Because you haven't been cleansed from it. That's still, you got to remember, these spirits look at you as their home. And they're getting rent free. And all utilities paid. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John chapter 2. They even get cable. And then they entice you, right? So they entice you, torment you. So they get fed by the emotion, and they watch you react, so they get movie in a theater. I mean, they get dinner in a theater. They're sitting there eating while you're acting like an idiot with all of this entertainment. Then they invite their friends over. Dinner in a theater. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Spiritual contamination. That's why the word tells us to be careful. You know, bad habits corrupt good behavior. Bad company corrupts good behavior. Bad habits. Bad habits are associated with a spirit. Oh, you know how many people, well, that's just a habit I have. Man, it's a demon you got. That ain't a habit. That's a habit demon. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Why? Because it's what? Contaminated. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Why? Because those things contaminate. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So this contamination is going to cause separation and prevent you from doing the will of God. Hello? Praise God. Go to James 4. You know, when we were kids, we used to call it cooties. Oh, man, you got cooties, man. They really had a demon. Didn't know it. Its name was called Cootie. James chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself a what? An enemy of God. Why? Because they're contaminated, aren't they? Verse 5. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God, what? Resist the proud, but gives what? Grace to the humble. So when a person is prideful, are they contaminated? Yeah. Ooh. So when a person refuses to worship God, are they contaminated? You betcha. Can't even lift your hands to heaven and surrender? You're double contaminated. And you got cooties. Hallelujah. So if you're standing next to somebody that refuses to worship or lift their hands, move away. Verse 7. Therefore what? Therefore what? Submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Why? Because you're stinking proud. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Oh, praise be to God. 1 Corinthians 6. How about TV? Can that contaminate you? How about music? How about books? How about college? You betcha. You better go in there sanctified, justified, and glorified. And you must discern what you take in. That's why David said, Lord, put nothing unclean before my eyes. Put a guard over my lips and tongue. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 9, would you read it with me, please? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So does an individual that's been contaminated promote unrighteousness? Yes. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're contaminated. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, hallelujah. So in this, all things, he said, are lawful for me, but all things are what? Not what? They're not helpful. Has everybody got it? In other words, just because you can do all things doesn't mean it's good for you. You know, many people, that doesn't mean you're, oh, look at, I can eat anything. So you can eat 40 Twinkies every morning, you're going to die. Amen. You cannot live on Twinkies and Rice Krispies. It ain't going to work. Verse 13, it says, foods for the stomach and stomach for the foods, but God will destroy both, both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to the harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality, every sin that a man does outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are what? God's. So you were bought with a price, weren't you? So we are to be sanctified. We're to come out from among them. Amen? And we must begin to discern these things in our life. You know, when we were younger, well, I guess when I was younger, but anyways, peer pressure. It doesn't matter about what age. It's peer pressure no matter where, you know. And one of the things that the world tries to do is get you to move with the trends of the world. Well, such and such does it. You know, you hear parents, the kids come to them. Well, you know, their parents let them do it. Well, this parent ain't gonna. Just because it's okay to do this and do this and do that and all the other stuff. You know, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. And I've said this before, that Facebook is dangerous. That's dangerous. It can contaminate you. You must use wisdom when you do Facebook. It's not a place to pour out your heart. It's not a place to promote yourself. Hello. It's a place to express God. If you're not expressing God on Facebook, get your butt off it. Real simple. Hello? And in this, you got to be careful. Because peer pressure is always trying to get individuals, especially kids and teens and so forth, and young youth, to move according to the way the world moves. And what they're actually doing is they're touching unclean things. You know, they have a TV program, Pregnant in Teen. Bunches of them, you know. Okay, so the school promotes condoms. The home should promote sanctification. Hello? The school is not going to promote sanctification. They're going to tell you it's okay. We know some people that work in the Department of Children and Family. And I'll tell you some things that will blow you away of what they allow to happen. I mean, we know people that have been disgusted, that work for them, that have had to allow this stuff to happen. And I'm going to share one thing, and I'm not going to go into deep detail. But one of the boys was having a problem. So they told him to dress like a girl and let him dress that way. This is family and children. They let them watch pornography to relieve themselves. This is what the world system is. It's okay. You know, Satan's doctrine is do what you feel like doing. It's called do as you feel like. Has everybody got this? See, that's why we must come out from among the world. And in. You're not in the world. Even though you live in the world, you're not to be amongst the world according to their traditions anymore. You know, how close do you want to get to God? I don't believe a believer should drink anything. I don't believe a believer should smoke. I don't believe a believer should go in the bars. Unless the Lord sends you in there to go rescue someone. But I've had people say, oh, I'm going to go rescue someone from the crack house. And you know what? They were there 3 days later. Because God didn't send them. How close you want to get to the Lord depends on your sanctification. What you're willing to give up of the world. Amen? Praise God. Go to Matthew 8. That's all it takes is a little cooperation. A little sanctification. And you're free. You know, we got to stop pleasing man and start pleasing God. Matthew 8, start at verse 1. And when Jesus came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and what? Worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, is God going to refuse someone that worships him? No. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him. He did what? Touched him. Saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the what? His leprosy was what? Cleansed. But see, it started off with worship, didn't it? He worshiped him. And he believed, didn't he? He believed that the Lord would, if the Lord would just touch him, he could be cleansed. Amen. Go to Matthew 9. Just one touch. So there is point of contact and healing, isn't there? That's why some people, there's fellowships that don't believe that Jesus can heal. There's fellowships that don't believe Jesus can cast out devils. They don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Believe me, we've ministered to a lot of people that have never had a demon cast out of them. Why? Because demons cause contaminations. Amen? And you'll know them by their fruit. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20. And it says, "And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garments." See, she fought the touch, didn't she? And he said, and she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." Wow. And she did. She crawled on her hands and knees through the crowd. She fought to make point of contact. And when's the last time you fought for the presence of God? Are you waiting for God to do something? He's waiting for you. Come on, we used to fight for the dope, the drugs, the alcohol, for the cigarettes. Man, it didn't matter what time of day, what time of night. We'd be willing to give up a meal to get fed. Actually, what we were doing is giving up a meal to feed the demon. Amen? Now will you deny yourself and chase after the Lord? So his touch brings cleansing. His touch brings healing. It's called the point of contact. In Matthew 20, verse 33. All glory. Let's start at 29. "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet." Oh, hallelujah. I love this. The religious said, "Be quiet." "But they cried out all the more," I love it, "saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.'" It reminds me of Friday night. "Cried out even more, 'Lord, come on, we go after God, after his presence.'" And somebody said, "Man, don't you think you need to settle down?" Then we turn on the radical switch, the undignified one. And we get totally undignified. And we dive in the river of life. Then we become river children. Yes. Where are you from? The river. All glory. In verse 32, "So Jesus stood still and called them, and he said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion and" what? "Touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they" what? "Oh, glory," and they followed him. Just a touch will cause you to follow. But you got to go after the touch. You know, that's why the word says, anoint the head of the sick. What I do in a point of contact. That's what anointing oil is for. That's why we make anointing oil now. So that everybody can get a Bible and go around and touch everything. Yeah. Anoint your dog, your cat, your mouse. Whatever it is. Sanctify it unto the Lord. Praise God. They can have a revival. Mice praising God in the house. Acts 19. What do you think happened to VeggieTales? They got touched. Now they're praising God. And now they're making movies. They're entertainers now, right? Acts 19, verse 11. So you can all go out and buy VeggieTales, man. It's an anointed flick. In verse 11, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left him and evil spirits went out of them. Why? Because it was a point of contact. The aprons and handkerchiefs were anointed by the anointing. Has everybody got it? And we have a wonderful testimony about a woman that was in a mental institution, and her sister went up to the evangelist and asked him to put a piece of candy in his pocket. During the service, of course, he thought, looked at her and said, what are you, crazy lady? And the Lord said, put it in your pocket. He go, okay. So he did. After the service, the woman came up and said, can I have my candy back? She said, yeah. He goes, go on. About a year later, he came back into the town, and she brought her sister with her. And he said, do you remember me? He goes, no. He goes, I'm the one that gave you the candy. He goes, yeah, how could I forget? And he said, well, this is my sister. She was in a mental institution, and I couldn't bring her anything but candy. And when she ate the candy, God healed her. And her mind came back. No, the demon left, man. Because there was nothing but a tormenting demon, a mind-binding spirit that tormented her. And that's all it was the anointing on the candy. Do you understand? What? Point of contact. Point of contact. So you must be careful that you don't get contaminated, spiritually contaminated by the point of contact or the things of ungodliness, and maintain your sanctification so that you become a touch to someone else. That's why the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they will what? They will recover because of the point of contact. James chapter 3. Is everybody okay? James chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Verse 5. Oh, are you ready for this? Huh? We better start it. Let's see. Ooh. Let's start at verse 2. James chapter 3. Verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue, everyone say the tongue, is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. In other words, it can contaminate the body. The tongue can contaminate the body. Because what the enemy does is put a thought in you. You agree with it and speak it. What you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. In other words, be careful what you speak. Because what you speak is also associated is with touch. Touch. Somebody speaking to you. See, you can speak over your own life and bring a curse. You can speak over somebody else's life and bring a curse. So you can say, man, I'm never going to do this. Well, hello. You just spoke that over your life. That's called a label. We have prayers for breaking labels off. See, people, the enemy is always trying to put a label on you to bring limitations. Amen? To bring you into bondage, into slavery. So we must be careful. Amen? So that's another area of touch, is through your tongue. Go to Isaiah 6. We're almost done, about 30 more scriptures. I'm only kidding. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 6. Oh, no, let's start somewhere else here. Ooh, this is good. Thank you. Let's start at verse 1. Isaiah 6, 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Verse 2. Everybody there? Above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then the one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and tell the people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and be what? And be healed." So we see that there was a touch and a cleansing, wasn't there? But he said that they were contaminated because they had eyes, but they didn't see. They had ears, but they didn't hear. But they had a heart, but they didn't receive. Because contamination will cause blindness, deafness, dullness, and hardness of heart. And the angel, the seraphim, came to him and said, and touched him. That point of contact of the purity of the coal, which is known, that's the call. When you're calling down fire, you're calling down coal, the fire that's lit. And that's what brings purification. It burns all the garbage out. The thing is when people call, ask for the fire of the Lord, and the Lord starts to bring the fire in their life, they run instead of letting God deal with them and expose all their garbage. Amen? But in this, there is that touch of cleansing from the throne room of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Spiritual contamination. Terrible thing. But that's what the enemy wants to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 21. It says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for what? Honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." How many of y'all want to be sanctified to the Lord and be used? See, if you don't want to be used, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong. That means a demon's there. Why? Why don't you want to be used by God? Because there's a presence, there's contamination that's convincing you that either you can't be used by God, you're not willing to pay the price, or pray the price to be used by God, or you're afraid, or there's pride, thinking that you're okay, you don't need to be used by God. That is called contamination. Somebody got it? Oh, hallelujah. It says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call out of the Lord with a pure heart. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So when you are contaminated, are you being taken captive? Then whose will are you going to eventually do? Satan's will. Why? Because contamination will separate you from the presence of God, and eventually you will break covenant and do the will of Satan. Isaiah 52. So how do we cleanse ourselves? Repent. Turn away. Repent and turn away. That's how you cleanse. Lord, forgive me. When you repent, the blood of Christ washes you. Now you got to turn away from what you're doing that's causing you to be contaminated. Isaiah 52. Is everybody there? Verse 10. Hallelujah. Isaiah 52, verse 10. The Lord has made bare his holy arm, and the eyes of all the nations and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from among there. Touch no what? Unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Be what? Be what? Be clean. Yes. Go out from the midst of her and be clean. You who what? Bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go out by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your what? Rear guard. So you get cleansed, then sent. Amen? Cleansed and sent. So there's a process, isn't there? That's why people go through deliverance and healing and so forth. 1 John chapter 5, and we'll close here. Spiritual contamination. Those who are unbelievers are spiritually contaminated. Those believers that are bearing rotten fruit are contaminated. Hello? Where's the contamination? Is there torment of the mind? Is there a fear? There's contamination. What are you touching and agreeing with that's causing contamination? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What is it? Expose it. It's your responsibility to expose it, cut its head off. Amen? It's our responsibility to expose it and remove it. Submit to God and resist the devil. You already have the authority, but the enemy's trying to tell you you don't. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. It says what? All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not what? Now, what is sin again? Presence of evil. But he who has been born of God, what? Keeps himself, and the wicked one does not what? Touch him. Touch him. So it's our responsibility to keep ourselves clean so the wicked one does not touch us. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, do what? Keep yourselves from idols. Why? Because idols are contaminated. Again, there is a spiritual contamination that is infiltrating the body of Christ. We are in the last days, and we must begin to recognize these things. You have dominion, power, and authority that's been granted to you. Don't let the enemy continue to steal from you the blessings of the Lord. Maintain a worshiper. Maintain his presence. Remember, there's three things you must abide in: his presence, his word, and fellowship. Because the enemy loves to isolate an individual. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your word. We are awesomely grateful. Help us to maintain the clarity and discernment so that we know when we're about to touch something unclean that might contaminate us. And Lord, we take this opportunity to repent for anything that we have done that has caused contamination through our mouth, our tongue, our eyes, our ears, our thoughts, through associations, through memories. Any area, Lord, we repent and we command those spirits associated with contamination that is within us or on us to loose us, to leave us, and go to the pit right now in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, as we are washed by the blood of Christ and healed by the stripes of Jesus, sanctified, justified, and glorified for his purpose in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.